Let's go talk movies with our fortnightly reviewer, Graham Tuckett. Hello there, Graham.
Hey, Jesse. How are you? How's the sound quality?
Yeah, you're sounding good. Tell me about Les Mis.
That's a relief. Look, this is a treat. The two films we're going to talk about today are the two films that I was sat down to review for the weekend, the second or third week of March. So these are two films which are actually back on the big screen as of this weekend, next week. So we're, you know, once we're not talking about what's on Netflix, we're actually talking about what's on the cinema, which is such a treat for me.
Yeah, of course. So, I hadn't even clicked.
Yeah, so I thought, well, just, you know, I can understand people being a little bit reticent about going and sitting in a room full of strangers again, and I certainly, you know, it'll be a week or two before I really want to be inside a cinema again. But I'm so impressed with the cinemas that have decided to reopen. I know, I'm sure Auckland's the same, but I know here in Wellington, they're being absolutely assiduous about the contact tracing, the maintaining distancing with the seats and such like, and making the experience as safe and comfortable as it can be. And there's fantastic films out.
So it hasn't been so long since Les Miserables with, well, I can think of Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe, and it was Anne Hathaway, wasn't it? That would have been, what, 10 years ago? Tops, more like 7 or 8, probably.
No, not even that. I'm thinking about 2015, around there somewhere.
Yeah. Is this another one?
Les Miserables, a.k.a. the only musical that Graham Tuckett ever enjoyed. There is a new Les Miserables, and it's nothing to do with the Victor Hugo novel or the musical. It's another story trading under the same name for reasons that do become obvious. So this Les Miserables is a 2019, it's a French drama set in and around a fairly downtrodden working class North African expatriate Parisian housing estate called,
Montfermeil.
Now, what happens in Montfermeil is inspired by true events that happened in 2008, shortly after France. I think it's 2008 that France won the World Cup. Sorry, 2018 when France won the FIFA World Cup. Director Lars Lange, he had quite a few short and apparently very, very good, like first-person narrated documentaries on his reel already. When violence broke out in this housing estate in Montfermeil, partly inspired by some very, very heavy-handed police tactics, he turned his camera onto what he saw unfolding around him, and he sort of constructed a narrative and turned what had been a non-fiction documentary into a fictionalized account of a couple of very, very eventful days in Project City Calls Home. So Lars Lange is of Malian descent, brought up and educated in France. He calls these housing projects his own home as well. And he's constructed this narrative about a very bizarre burglary, which a couple of local kids decide to steal a lion cub from a Roma fair, which is travelling nearby. The police get involved. The unofficial mayor, I guess to the police, they'd call him a crime lord, but to the locals, he's the one who makes sure they're protected and looked after. He gets tasked with finding this lion cub, or else the police are going to have to get seriously involved. And the story kind of spirals out of control from there. There's an incidence of police brutality as a young kid with a drone manages to film it. And a lot of the film basically becomes the police trying to track down the kid who's got the storage card from the drone, which has got the evidence of a pretty shocking piece of police brutality on it. Les Miserables is a film anyone who enjoyed the series The Wire, I think, would find a lot to enjoy about this.
Great. Yep, that came up on the show just yesterday, actually.
Cool. A very, very good French film from, probably more like 20 years ago, called La Haine. That it reminded me of very much as well. Also about the flashpoint in a Parisian apartment block between heavy-handed police and migrant communities. I think Les Mis obviously is a great influence on Les Miserables. Les Mis went on to massive international acclaim. As has Les Miserables. It was France's entry in the non-English language Academy Awards for last year, missing out, of course, to Parasite, but still made the shortlist. So that's this Les Miserables.
Worth a look.
The reason that, oh, absolutely worth a look. And the connection to the Victor Hugo novel is the commune of Montfermeil is where Victor Hugo actually set great portions of the original novel Les Miserables. It's where the tavern was. And as many reviewers have pointed out, there's a great continuity in this film, but it's set in exactly the same area 130, 140 years later, and yet we're still addressing scenes of working-class communities being downtrodden, trying to get a break of heavy-handed authority, so like 138 years to the minute. Somehow we get a similar story being told in the same area.
Yeah, it is quite audacious just to call this movie Les Miserables. I wonder how many people will go along not even realising that it's not just another telling of that story.
I mean, one glance at the poster, or, you know, obviously seeing the trailer should be enough, but I tend to agree with you. If I made a documentary about a jeweller and said, come see Lord of the Rings, people would probably say, no, you're not actually allowed to do that. You've got to find your own name. But I haven't read any legal challenge to it. Nobody seems to have objected. But yeah, it's a strange thing. I mean, if I did my drive show on Radioactive and said I'm going to call it 9 to Noon with Catherine Ryan, I think people would probably have a problem. But you can trade under another name when it comes to Les Miserables.
Okay, Graham, I hate to tell you, we're starting to lose you again. What is your setup there? Are you talking to me on a walkie-talkie or a mobile phone, or what's
the
story?
No, I'm on an absolutely brand spanking new iPhone, so it should be good. Not working.
Well, you know, we're just hanging in there. Tell me about Bait, which sounds like a real sort of, I don't know, one for people who enjoy those British crime thrillers on Netflix.
You know, a couple of weeks ago we talked about that film, The Lighthouse. Yeah. A very, very odd period horror piece, all shot in black and white, just two men, Willem Dafoe, Robert Pattinson, stranded in the lighthouse. But anyone who loves that, I think, will love Bait. Bait is set in the 1970s in a Cornish fishing village. It's about sort of tension between the people who are buying up quaint little fishing cottages to use as holiday homes and the people who used to live in those quaint little fishing cottages when they were still fishermen. How's the sound? Is it worth persisting or not?
Yeah, persist. Yeah,
hello?
Go ahead, Graham. Hi.
Cool.
Good. Yeah, go ahead. We can hear you,
the astonishing thing about Bait is that it's been made on period 1970s film equipment and film stock. The director is a man called Jenkin, who he shot the whole thing on a 16mm hand-wound Bolex camera. Yeah. Which was, you know, very commonly available in the 1960s and 70s. He has hand-processed his own negatives and then recorded the soundtrack and dialogue afterwards in a technique that would be familiar to, like, a filmmaker of the 1930s or 40s, I guess. And it looked astonishing. You know, the thing we love to say about a beautiful film is you cut out any frame of it and hang it on the wall as a piece of art. Bait really does rise to that occasion.
Oh,
it's a great... It's got great tension to it. It's a simple story, very well told. But just as a piece of cinematic sculpture, it's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal-looking film. So this is one for the real cinemaphiles. If you're really into something, seeing something you will not have seen anything like before, then I very, very recommend Bait, which is in a select few cinemas around the country as of next Thursday, 21st.
Great, good heads up. Thanks. Enjoy going to the pictures again. Graham Tuckett, our movie reviewer. That last one he was talking about was called Bait, B-A-I-T. And before that, Les Miserables, only tangentially related to the famous musical of the same name. It's a different story, but set in a similar part of Paris.